Open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 119, Schofield Bible, page 659. Psalm 119, verses 65 through 72. And the 71st verse is the text verse for this evening's message. Let's stand, please, if you're not too tired. We'll read these verses responsibly. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Let's pray. Father, this is, of course, an exciting service. We thank you that there's excitement in heaven. We're thankful for the excitement of new birth for many thousands of people these past few days and especially today. Thank you. We just give thee praise, thanksgiving. Help us now to focus as best we can on the service tonight, the preaching. And there's work to be done. Help us. We pray. Bless our preacher and all of us here in this room, in Jesus' name, amen.
I couldn't help but think tonight, I couldn't help but think of those who have recently gone to heaven. I thought about some of the folks who were just buried recently, like Jesse Pryor, and trying to think of some Ryan Hammers, and of course Greg Sikma, and others. I have an idea up in heaven they're saying to all the saints that perhaps my church down there. That's where I was a member. And I got a sneaking suspicion. We're starting up the sermon about 15-20 minutes late tonight. And I plan to give you back some of that time. I also am giving you special permission to come to the altar and take a nap during the invitation if you'd like. And I want to speak tonight. My title is the same as my text. Psalm 119:71 says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. I'm going to leave you with the one truth tonight. And again, may I say, I assure you, I know you're tired. It'll be a brief message, and that's the truth. I don't usually tell the truth when I say it's going to be a brief message, but tonight, that's the truth, so I just told two lies instead of one. But I want to talk with you. Father, bless me as I speak now in these few moments as I leave this truth with the people of God. Amen. The psalmist said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. I want you to notice he did not say, it is best for me that I've been afflicted. He simply said, it is good for me that I've been afflicted. Let me see if I can paraphrase it a little bit. I have been afflicted, and I used it for good. Or, shall I paraphrase it again? I used my troubles for good. My troubles came, I suffered them, I examined them, and I sought for a way to use my affliction or my troubles for good. Basically, that's what Romans 8:28 means. All things, and by the way, we don't understand Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. That doesn't mean that things change. It means that whatever was going to happen now will work for the good. And may I paraphrase that a little bit too? And I'm not doing any justice to the scripture when I do so. Those who love God and are in His will work all things for good. Or shall I say this, all things are worked together for good to those who love God. That means those who love God will try to figure out some way to make everything that happens to them work for the good. If there's a death in the family, you'll look at it and say, how can I make this work for the good? If there's a heartache, you'll say, how can I make this work for the good? But in another place, the Apostle Paul said that those things that happened to him for the furtherance of the gospel. Here's what he's saying. I didn't waste my troubles. I used my troubles for the good. It means that when troubles come, I am to see how they can be used for good, my good, or somebody else's good. It does not mean that I want troubles to come, and does not mean that all things work together for the best. It simply means that we're supposed to look at whatever happens to our life and say, how can I use that to the glory of God and to help somebody? How can I work this reversal? I have a reversal in life. How can I work this reversal for good? This heartache that I have, let me look at it a moment and examine it. Now, how can I work this heartache for the good of somebody? Or this mistake that I've made, maybe. I've made a mistake. I've done something I shouldn't have done. I goofed. Now, how can I make this work together for good? I got expelled from college. I'm not testifying now. I'm supposing that you got expelled from college. I never did get expelled from college. But if there had been a Hiles Anderson College, I may have come close a time or two. But somebody asked me one time, said, did you and Miss Hiles ever hold hands or kiss before you married? I said, let's just put it this way. I thank God there was no Hiles Anderson College back in those days. Brother John, you're looking mighty complacent there. Did you and Elaine ever kiss before you got married? Let's just go on down the line here, shall we? Now, what I'm saying is that okay, so you got expelled from Hiles Anderson College. Now step back and look at it and say, how can I make this work together for good? I can make this give me more diligence in the future. Or I can make this change the crowd I was running with so I won't get expelled the next time running with that crowd that's not happy tonight. That crowd that went soul winning 1 hour this week and that's all. That crowd that breaks the rules and gets more excited about that than they do about getting people safe. I won't run with that crowd anymore. Or I can correct the mistake that I've made. So what the psalmist is saying here, he's saying, how I've had this reversal. How can I make it work for the good? I've had this heartache. How can I make it work for the good? I made this mistake. How can I make it work for the good? I'm in this battle. How can I make this battle work for the good? I have an illness. How can I help this illness work for good? I have a forgiven sin. I've had some sin in my life, but it's been forgiven. Now, I've done it. It's over. It's forgiven. And God's forgotten about it. But I want to look at it and see, how can I make this sin work together for good? I don't mean that the sin can work together for good, but it may be that you can warn other people of the awful consequences you've had to pay because of your sin. I examine this sorrow, and I say, how can I make this sorrow work together for good? Let me illustrate. I have looked at my father's death, and I have made my father's death work together for the salvation of literally thousands of people across this country. Now, does that mean that my father died? We thought at the time he was unsaved. We have hope maybe that he got saved, but we thought at the time he was unsaved. I looked at that, and I said, now, how can I help? How can I make the death of my supposedly unsaved father worked together for good? I have told the story about my father's death. I've told the story about his promising to get saved in the springtime and get baptized in the springtime, but the springtime never came. He fell dead before the springtime came, or at least his springtime came. And I've told it across the country. And literally, thousands of people have won their fathers to Jesus Christ. How can I make it work together for the good? Hey, don't waste the tragedy. Don't waste the sorrow. Don't waste the heartache. Don't waste an illness. Figure out some way that you can make that work for good. That's what the psalmist meant when he said, it is good for me that I've been afflicted. Illustration. I got a call one day, or a letter one day, and it was from a lady named Ruth Elaine Bartels. She said, dear Dr. Hiles, I live in the state of Michigan. I'm a pastor's wife, or I was, a pastor's widow. Recently, my husband, who was a pastor, passed away. Now, I'd like to offer to do something. If you'd just get me a little place where I can put a cot and sleep, and get me a little place where I can pray privately I'd like to come to Hammond, Indiana, and spend the rest of my life just praying for you. Now, what is she doing? She's looking at the death of her husband, a preacher husband. And she's saying, now, how can I make this work together for good? I got her a little apartment over here and a little place to pray. And she came here for many years, I think 10 or 12 years she was here. And every time I preached anywhere across America, she was on her face praying for me. And now, well, what am I saying? I'm saying, what is she doing? She said, oh, my husband's gone. What can I do? I'll get in my room. I'll just sit there and mope the rest of my life. No, she said, turn me down, please, a little bit, would you, PMN? She said, I'll figure out how I can make the death of my husband work together for good. I think about Ron Hamilton. Ron Hamilton, when he was a young man, he suddenly found he had some eye problem, and like Brother Boyd had, he had a cancer in one of his eyes. He had that eye removed. Now, wait a minute. How can I make this loss of this eye work together for good? Well, Ron Hamilton decided he had created a creature called Patch the Pirate. So he got a patch and put it over his eye, and he became Patch the Pirate. I wonder how many people have been saved because of Ron Hamilton losing that eye to cancer. You see, what he did was said this, how can I use it? The psalmist said, I'm not glad I was afflicted. I didn't enjoy being afflicted. And it may not have been best, but whatever has happened to me, I'm going to see how I can use it to the cause of Christ and for the good of somebody else. I think of Tom Williams, whose wife was tragically ill and left almost a vegetable. You've seen her. She walks like this. And Tom Williams looked back, took a look at that and said, now, how can I make this work for the good? And Tom Williams has gone across the country and around the world telling the story of his wife and taking his wife with him. And tens of thousands have been saved. Why? Because Tom Williams was happy his wife was afflicted? No, sir. But because he looked at the affliction and looked at the heartache and looked at the sorrow and said, I'm going to figure out how I can use that to the glory of God. So whatever problems you have, figure out some way you can use it to the glory of God. I think of Dan Parr, old story. Cancer. Stood right here with the oxygen tank beside him and preached at pastor's school with 105 temperature. Escaped the hospital in Philadelphia. The doctor said, you've got to stay here. Got on the airplane, came out here. 57 men. How many fellows here tonight surrender preach that night that Dan Parr? Is anybody here tonight? Stand up, would you please surrender preach the night Dan Parr? I think they're all out pastoring. Is there one? Yes, there's one back here. Thank you very much. And there are pastors all over America. Now, Dan Parr said to me one night in the car outside of a hotel room, Brother Hiles, I have cancer. And I went to his place and prayed with him and prayed for him. But Dan Parr looked back and said, I don't have many days left. I don't know how many days I've got. I have cancer, but I am going to see how I can work this cancer for the good. I think of an old story I haven't told in years. One of my favorite stories. I was down south preaching. Before I preached, a good-looking man walked down this aisle over here. Looked like he was a man of some means. And I thought, now, that fellow's somebody. Don't leave me now. And he walked down and put his hand out like that. I was a touch intimidated because he looked like he was a man of some importance. And here's what he said. And I said, sir, I'm sorry. I didn't quite understand what you said. And the pastor came over and said, Dr. Howell, let me tell you what he's saying to you. This man is a successful businessman. God called this man to preach the gospel. And this man did not preach the gospel and decided to turn his back on the call of God. And God smote him with this impediment of speech. I couldn't understand what he was saying. I said, what's he saying to me? And he's saying to me, keep on preaching. Don't ever stop. Preach the truth. Don't ever stop. He said, every preacher that comes to preach behind this pulpit, that man walks down and says, Now, he looked at his problem, his affliction, and he can't preach. But bless God, he can walk up and tell others, keep on going and don't stop. I think of Bill Mills years ago, was sentenced to die in the electric chair. And he was pardoned, but the governor declared innocent. He bought him an electric chair. How can I use this thing of being in prison? How can I use this thing of being sentenced to die in an electric chair? He bought him an electric chair and transported that electric chair all over America and preached sitting in that electric chair. He came to Texas, to my church in Texas, had the electric chair right here. And he said, "Brother Hiles, sit down in this chair." I said, "No way, Jose. I'm not going to sit down. There's too many bass men in the choir and too many deacons close by. They'll plug that thing in. I'm not going to do it." But Bill Mills said, "Okay, I've been in prison. I was sentenced to die in an electric chair. Now, how can I use this for good?" It does not mean that you want bad to come. It does not mean that you want affliction to come. It does not mean that you want illness to come. It does not mean you want reversal to come. It simply means when it does come, look at it and see how you can use it to the glory of God. What a shame to waste a heartache. What a shame to waste a burden. What a shame to waste a bereavement. What a shame to waste an illness. You know, some of the hardest workers in this big day-to-day were people who had heartaches. You know, one of the most enthusiastic workers we had was Trina Staten. Now, she's a widow, a young widow, little children to rear. She loves me with all of her heart. Now, what can I do to make this tragedy for the glory of God? I think what you can do, you can do what she's doing. You can say, I'm sorry it happened. I would not have chosen it, but I am not going to waste my bereavement or waste my sorrow or waste my heartache. Here's what it means. It means don't let your troubles get you down. You get on top of your troubles. Joseph said to his heartache, "You won't get me down. I'll get you down." When he was sold into slavery, he said to his heartache, "You won't get me down. I'll get you down." And Joseph was used to the glory of God and rose to the top of the kingdom. Daniel said to captivity, "You won't get me down. I'll get you down." Job said to his loss of wealth, "You won't get me down. I'll get you down." Job said to his bereavement, he lost his 10 children. He said to bereavement, "You won't get me down, I'll get you down." And the patience of Job has been preached around this world for several thousand years because Job said, "I will use my heartache for the glory of God and to help people." Job said to his illness, "You won't get me down, I'll get you down." Hosea said to his broken marriage, and by the way, somewhere in here you're going to find your situation. Job said to his broken marriage, "You won't get me down, I'll get you down, and I'll use it to the glory of God." Hosea said that. David said to his broken heart when Absalom rebelled against him, "You won't get me down, I'll get you down. I'll use this broken heart to the glory of God." Moses said to his speech impediment, "You won't get me down, I'll get you down." And Moses used his speech impediment to the glory of God. Jeremiah said to his broken heart, "You won't get me down, I'll get you down." And Jeremiah used his broken heart to the glory of God. Thomas said to his doubting, "You won't get me down, I'll get you down." And Thomas became the great missionary to India and used his doubting to the glory of God. Adoniram Judson said to his wife's grave, on the grave of his wife, and then his children, Adoniram Judson said, "You won't get me down, I'll get you down. Discouragement, you won't get me down, I'll get you down, and I'll reach India with the gospel of Jesus Christ." David Livingston said to his sick body, "You won't get me down, I'll get you down." And David Livingston forged across the country of Africa to the glory of God, using even his illness to the glory of God. John Bunyan said to the Bedford prison, "You won't get me down, I'll get you down." John Bunyan used the Bedford prison experience to write the Great Pilgrim's Progress. Charles Spurgeon said to his sick body, "You won't get me down, I'll get you down," and used his sick body to the glory of God. Fanny Crosby said to her blindness, "You won't get me down, I'll get you down." And the song you sang a while ago, "Blessed Assurance," Jesus' mind was pinned by this little blind lady who said, I'm sorry I'm blind, but I'll look, take a step back, and through spiritual perception, I'll see what I can do with my affliction and say with the psalmist, it is good that I've been afflicted. Mrs. Spurgeon said to her wheelchair, you won't get me down, I'll get you down. And use it to the glory of God. Susanna Wesley said to an unhappy marriage, a crook for a husband, you won't get me down, I'll use my unhappy marriage to give my life to my boys, my son John and my son Charles, as well as my 17 other children. And Susanna Wesley used her sorrow to the glory of God. David said to his youth, I'll use my youth. I'll let no man despise my youth. I'll use it to the glory of God. Caleb said to old age, he said, you won't get me down, I'll get you down. And let me remind you that the pastor of the church that just baptized 5,095 people is 71 years of age. And let me remind you this, the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana is a living testimony of what I'm preaching tonight. Bless God, the attack comes, we say, attack, we'll use you for the glory of God. Opposition comes, we'll use you for the glory of God. You opposition and attack and criticism, we'll stomp on you. You won't stomp on us, we'll stomp on you. Paul said to his thorn in the flesh, you won't get me down, I'll get you down. Nehemiah said to his enemies, you won't get me down, I'll get you down. Franklin Roosevelt said to his polio, you won't get me down, I'll get you down. Helen Keller said to blindness and deafness, you won't get me down, I'll get you down. Stephen looked at the stones pelting his body as he was dying and said, death, you won't get me down, I'll look up and see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father and I'll get you down. J. Frank Norris said to the Liberal Southern Baptist Convention, I'll use you and I'll use this heartache as you voted me out. Mrs. Evans said to her cancer, you won't get me down, I'll use you. Randy Erickson said to his loneliness, you won't get me down, I'll use you for the glory of God. John the Apostle said to exile, you won't get me down, I'll use you to the glory of God. Ezekiel said to his wife's death, you won't get me down, I'll use this to the glory of God and keep on preaching. Jesus said to death and the grave, you won't keep me down, I'll rise again after 3 days and three nights. Jonah said to the whale, you won't keep me, I'll use you for the great revival. Lee Robertson said to the death of his baby, you won't get me down, I'll use it for the glory of God. Dr. Bill Rice said to the deafness of his daughter, Betty, you won't get me down, I'll get you down and use it to the glory of God. Tom Williams said to his wife's handicap, you won't get me down, I'll get you down. Dan Parr said to his cancer, you won't get me down, I'll get you down. Lester Roloff said to the state of Texas, who tried to close his homes, you won't get me down, I'll get you down, and use it for the glory of God. Martin Luther said to Pope, I thought one time you were a vicar of God, now I think you're the vicar of hell, but I'll post these theses on the door, and you won't get me down, I'll light a fire that'll cover the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and salvation by grace through faith. John Huss said to martyrdom, you won't get me down, I'll light a fire that'll circle the globe and be seen around the world. Ron Hamilton said to eye cancer, you won't get me down. Don Boyd said to eye cancer, you won't get me down. And by the grace of God, this old preacher has said time and time again, I looked at my poverty and said, how can I use it? I get this. If I had not been a poor little boy, we would not have had this day today. If I had not been a poor little boy, I would never have taken the bus kids over the rich people. And I want to tell you something. There are a lot of rich people up in heaven right now that didn't like what went on here when I came here, but I guarantee up in heaven they like it pretty well right now. And a lot of folks are shouting right now, voted against me 38 years ago. I looked at attacks. How can I use these to the glory of God? I looked at heartaches and said, how can I use these to the glory of God? I looked at disappointments and said, how can I use these to the glory of God? I looked at death threats and said, how can I use these to the glory of God? ladies and gentlemen, as I said last Sunday morning, if trouble hasn't come, it's on the way. Now, I want you to think of something. I'm through because I promised you I wasn't going to preach long. I want you to think of something right quickly. What is your adversity tonight? What is your affliction tonight? What is your bereavement or sorrow or heartache tonight? Look at David. David said, Saul tried to kill me. It is good that I was afflicted. My son Absalom rebelled against me and started a civil war against me. It is good that I've been afflicted. I sinned against God. I've been forgiven. Now I'll see to it that I use even that somehow for good. What is your affliction tonight? What is your heartache tonight? What is your sorrow tonight? You look it square in the eyeball and say to it, Buster, you're not going to get me down. I'll get you down. And I'm not going to give up or turn back or whine or pout or have a pity party. I am going to take whatever happens to me, as Romans 8:28 says, and I'm going to, get this now, I am going to see to it myself that it works together for good. What's your heartache tonight? Use it. Oh, use your education, yes. And use your talent, yes. And use the victories, yes. But when adversity comes, say with the psalmist who said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted because I made it so. And say with the apostle who said, all things are worked together for good to those who love God, the cause of those called according to purpose, or those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose will work everything for good. Would you bow your heads, please? Our heads